Kiss got the Collective Soul live on vinyl. I get steamed up.
You can mock me all you want. I'm a Collective Soul mark.
We should do a Collective Soul day here on the... I mean, we could probably fill up a whole day with it, right?
I think so.
All right, joining me right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline on Chad Dukes versus the World, none other than the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Of course, Rap Sheet on Twitter for all the breaking news. Great time of the year to be following him. And the NFL Network provides exclusive live coverage of the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine, March 2nd through the 5th, starting each day at 9 a.m. Keep it locked. Ian, how you doing, bud?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Great to have you on the program. Man, is there a lot of stuff I want to ask you about. Let's start with Bortles. Is this a shocking move? Did you expect the Jaguars to kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy, on Kirk Cousins? And does it change the quarterback market all that much?
Okay, first of all, I was expecting this deal. And, you know, this is something we've sort of talked about over the last couple of months. Like, for the Jaguars, their quarterback is Blake Bortles. I know everyone talked about, oh, maybe they'll be involved in Cousins, or, you know, last year it was, what about Eli? It's like, no, their quarterback is Blake Bortles. They invested, you know, 4 years in him. He led them with a lot of help from the defense and the run game, but he led them to the title game this year within one throw of reaching the Super Bowl. He is their quarterback, and it was really just a matter of how to make it work with the $19 million in the fifth-year option that he was getting. And you know, it was basically fully guaranteed because he had a wrist. It was guaranteed for injury, but he had a wrist injury, so he was injured. And it was just a matter of how to make it work. And so what they did was, instead of 19 this year, they gave him 20. He makes 16 next year, which is not very much at all for a starting quarterback. The Jaguars get cap relief, and, you know, they guarantee $7.5 million next year, but there's offsets, so if someone else pays it, it eats into that. It's actually a pretty fair deal, and so I'm sure it would have been a good spot for Kirk Cousins, but I never got the sense at all from there that was ever going to happen.
Yeah, it just, the price point for Jacksonville makes so much more sense, and now I assume they can go out and get the Allen Robinson deal done and load up and try to just surround him with as many weapons as they can.
Yeah, now it's going to be an interesting deal. They are going to try to do that deal. It's one thing I talked about this morning. I mean, that is sort of their next line of business, is to try to get the Allen Robinson deal done. It's going to be difficult, though, because he's been a very, very good receiver. He's been injured, missed this entire year. And, you know, they still went to the title game without him. Obviously, I'd love to have him, but they still went to the title game without him. He's not fully back from his rehab yet, so what is his market going to be from other teams? And are they going to be able to do, you know, would he even do a multi-year deal, knowing that if he does a one-year deal and goes out and kills the next year, he can cash in even bigger? It's a very difficult deal to do. I'm curious to see how they solve it, but yes, they would definitely like to sign him.
Talk to me about whatever's going on now with Roger Goodell expecting to fire Jerry Jones millions of dollars. You tweeted it's accurate and significant. What will the fallout be from that?
Yeah, this comes from the New York Times article. You know, it's rare for Roger Goodell to do this. It never happens. But, you know, as the article details, it is, you know, some of the other owners on the compensation committee that decides Roger Goodell's salary really pushing for this. And, you know, what Jerry Jones did was, he took something that the league had decided, you know, the Roger Goodell compensation. They designated a committee to do that, and that was what it was. And he tried to impede that. And he tried to basically stop negotiations, and he threatened to sue. And the league incurred a lot of legal fees, and they want him to pay that. They wanted to pay the legal fees associated with, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's situation. I mean, I'll be curious to see the Cowboys' response here. I really will.
Yeah, me too. Especially with the back and forth over the past couple of years between those two parties with the cap dump. Everybody knows about the Redskins. Wow, they were fine, but the Cowboys are one of those teams as well. Ian Rappaport is my guest on Chad Dukes versus the World at Rap Sheet on Twitter. We now know what the Kansas City Chiefs got back from the Los Angeles Rams for the Peters trade. I had Rich Hammond on from the Orange County Register, and he believed the Rams fleeced Kansas City. What once we've figured out what the bounty was, what do you make of that deal now, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of easy to say, that, you know, the Rams fleece the Chiefs. I'm going to kind of wait until we see how this plays out. Rarely are trades so one-sided. I mean, I remember hearing, you know, a couple years back that, you know, the Colts fleeced the Browns on the, you know, Trent Richardson deal. That was crazy and not so crazy. You know, what teams do is they go out and get the best possible price they can get.
Yeah.
And the two GMs who were involved in drafting Marcus Peters were not interested, at least not nearly at that price. That tells you what kind of market the Chiefs had for Marcus Peters, who is a great and dynamic player, a big-time playmaker, one of the best in football, but is a very high-maintenance player, and it takes a lot, you know, to deal with. And the Chiefs didn't have very many takers. They had basically the Rams and the Niners, kind of, and that's it. So that tells you what kind of market Marcus Peters has. And, you know, if he goes out and continues his Pro Bowl career with no issues at all, nothing they have to deal with, I would think they probably will have won. I also think the Chiefs feel very confident in their side of the deal.
I think they do, too. And I also, if that is the compensation, though, like, it's not going to have the significance as a quarterback, but Garoppolo getting all the Patriots got, there's context to everything. And yeah, maybe if you look back a couple of years later and both these guys are productive starters with their teams, say, well, I can't believe they only got that much, but that's kind of viewing it in a vacuum. With that being said, we've got a report now the Redskins are looking to move Sua Cravens after everything that's happened to him. What could his value possibly be on the open market, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, that's something they've discussed for some time. His value, well, he's not going to be on the open market, but his value on the trade market's going to be probably not much. You know, it's whatever a team would give up, and I don't think it's going to be much. But obviously for the Redskins, it's not going to be like, oh, we're only trading Sua Cravens because we can get, you know, a two. It's going to be, you know, we believe the best situation for him is elsewhere, and we believe it'll help the team if he's not here. And might as well get something rather than release him. I mean, they did not have to put him on the exempt left team list last year. They decided to anyway, even though he was going to come back. They basically did it right before he was going to come back. That shows you what value he has to them and what confidence they have in him. So, yeah, I mean, if whatever they can get, I think they'll probably be like the Chiefs and take the best deal they can.
I just don't even know. I mean, knowing what that's such a unique set of circumstances, then knowing that the Redskins don't want to reintroduce him into that locker room, like a sixth round. I mean, should they jump at a sixth round pick?
I mean, you know, whatever the best deal they can take, I would say. Whatever the best deal they can get. You know, I mean, because obviously, you know, you decided he wasn't part of your future last year when you put him on the exempt list, right? Like, that's, they didn't have to. They could have welcomed him back. He was coming back, and they put him on the list ending his season before he even came back. You know, that was their level of confidence in him. So once you decide someone's not part of your team, then it's really just, you know, get what get for him.
Ian Rappaport is my guest on Chad Dukes First World NFL Network, of course. They'll provide exclusive.
I'm sorry. I need to take this phone call. I apologize.
That is the last time we have that son of a bitch on this show. I swear to God. What a piece of garbage that guy is. That's twice he's done that. That's twice. And he sucked. And he sucked. He had absolutely no. God, I hate that guy. Here's the context. I'm not just trashing this guy for no reason. That guy agreed to do an interview earlier today and came in early, whatever. I don't care. He's a big name. That's fine. And he was that energy level, and he was that disengaged. And also, by the way, I don't know if you listen, that kind of condescending. And he, in the middle of the interview, I've been doing radio interviews for 15 years now. In the middle of the interview said, I've got to put the phone down. Put the phone down for 4 minutes. Never picked it back up. Just a complete and total disrespectful douche. And then to do that in the middle of a live interview after you've already screwed me once, go F yourself, dude. You get stuff wrong all the time, and everybody knows it. Why are you guys looking so nervous? You should want to mother effing more than I do. Of what?
The interview.
Oh, the taped interview?
Yeah.
Okay, this is from what, 1:30 today?
Yeah, it was about that. 1:40, he was late.
What a piece of trash that guy is. Please, please tweet Ian Rappaport and say, Chad Dukes thinks you're a douche. And he's going to start every show for the rest of the year saying Ian Rappaport is a douche. Because I am. Had guys bigger than you on, were able to keep a schedule. And by the way, if you can't commit to an interview, don't do it, stupid. Twice you boned me today. Twice. What a loser. You know how many guys there are that report on the NFL now? There's a billion. Here's the audio from the interview earlier today, which, by the way, he was late. Then we had to reschedule because this happened.
It's tough to judge what he would be with. Hold on one second.
Keep waiting for something else. Keep waiting for something else because nothing else happens. How long were you sitting there, Landfill, when you could have been doing something for the show?
Like 3.5-4 minutes.
And then what happened? He came back, right, and apologized?
No, there was just silence. Phone went dead.
Here's the radio that we're having here. Oh, and by the way, the scary news that he had to break was like a safety got released by the Carolina Panthers. Brother, if you can't do the interview, don't do the interview. You think you would pull this crap if I was nationally syndicated? So what? Because it's one market, you feel like you can get away with it? Your work ethic stinks. Your professionalism stinks. I question it. I'm sure it's actually a good thing for you that I'll never book you on this radio show ever again. But Jesus Christ, have a little respect for what you're plugging. You're supposed to be getting the word out about the combine being on the NFL network. How about some respect for yourself? If you're going to go on the radio, it's a big deal. You gave a pitiful interview, you had no energy, your facts weren't very good, and you were condescending. Christ. Unbelievable. You know, I do 100 radio interviews a year with other shows. I prepare for all of them. I'm high energy for all of them. And you know what? If I can't do it, I tell them I can't do it. I realize I'm not as in high a demand as Ian Rappaport, but professionalism is professionalism. What a trashy dude. At Rap Sheet, tell him I think he stinks. I think you stink, Ian Rappaport. What?
When he put the phone down in that interview we were trying to pre-record, that was actually the second time he screwed us just in that interview. You got him on the phone and you started talking to him, hey, Ian, how's it going? He was super low energy. Then you put him on and you did the intro to the segment and then you said, my guest, Ian Rappaport, is joining me. And there was just silence for 45 seconds.
For 45 seconds because he was just doing something else.
Yeah.
Dude, you're not that famous. You don't get to act that way. If that was Jack Nicholson on the phone, I let him slide with that. You're Ian Rappaport. You're a nerd in a suit. You've got a decent Rolodex. You could never do what I do. Never. In a million years. You got more Twitter followers, I'll give you that. You're on the NFL Network, I'll give you that. Problem is, I've had too many other guys from the NFL Network on that are completely professional, that do a great job. All right. Unfollow that guy. Follow Adam Schefter twice. He won't even come on my show because it's ESPN. He can't come on the station. I don't care. What an a-hole. What do I do now? He just kicked me in the balls in the 5 o'clock hour. I don't know how many of you know this, but the 5 o'clock hour, money hour for the PM drive. And I just got kicked in the nards by a zip zero, stingy with De Niro. I need you in my life, Ian Rappaport. Trust me, I don't. I can talk about spam paste for an hour. Doing this a long time, man. Long time. I, I have done 10 billion interviews. I can't even tell you how many interviews I've done. That's never happened. And it's Ian Rappaport. It was Kevin Hart. I'd be like, all right, Kevin Hart's the most famous. If it was The Rock, The Rock can do that. I guarantee he wouldn't. You suck, dude. And you're going to hear this because someone's going to send you the podcast, and I'm guessing you're going to be mad at me. Take a look in the mirror and realize maybe if you worked on that professionalism, you could be on Lock and Fora's level or Schefter's level or Peter King's level or Jay Glazer's level. You worked a little bit harder on being more professional. But quite frankly, I don't have time to find out. Good luck. Good luck with your life. And good luck knowing that Daniel Jeremiah knows more about football in his foreskin than you know about in your whole body. Tell your story, walking, Junior. This locomotive's leaving the station.
Hey, remember the mortgage meltdown of 2008? Have you tried to get a mortgage since then and been turned down? Or maybe you haven't even tried because your credit score is stuck at 585 or your tax returns have too many write-offs. Well, Cash Call Mortgage has great news for you. We've just introduced programs for people who've been told no. And what's doubly exciting is that we can solve your mortgage problems with no closing costs, no points, title, escrow, and no fees.
Wait, Cash Call, are you saying you now have credit and income-solving mortgages with no closing costs? Are you kidding?
You heard right. A credit or income-solving loan with no closing costs. Call 833-432-CASH and we'll work with you to solve your mortgage issues. Make the cash call at 833-432-CASH.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, One City Boulevard, Orange, California, 92868, NMLS, 128231. Equal housing lender, not licensed in all states, not available in Washington State. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing, terms, and restrictions.
That's 833-432-CASH.
No running back. It's tough to judge what he would be with. Hold on 1 second. Let me put the phone down for a second.
This piece of trash is now on Twitter saying fake news. You got any other teenage girl jargon you want to drop, you douchebag? How's your fidget spinner, Ian Rappaport, you loser? Why don't you report on Kirk Cousins getting traded to the Cleveland Browns some more? I just went in the other room because everybody here has already hated your guts because you get everything wrong. And the guy that does all the writing for our website, he pulled up 1,000 stories of you being wrong, you loser. Call the hotline. I'll debate you on the air. Tell this piece of garbage to call the hotline. It's at Rap Sheet. He's clearly got the hotline because he's hung up on it twice today. And I'll explain to him why it's not fake news. Then I'll explain to him how to do his job. And then I'll explain to him that if he had to do anything other than relay information from important people, he wouldn't have a job. If he had to be entertaining and provocative and have a skill, he wouldn't be able to do that. What he does is get text messages from people that we'd like to hear from and then conveys that information. Congratulations, douchebag. You're a switchboard operator. I don't care if you've got 200,000 followers. Professionalism is professionalism. By the way, what you just heard coming back from break, that was the first time today. If it was just the first time, I could even let it slide, even though he was low energy, uninformative, and he probably shouldn't have taken the interview if he was going to be that busy. I can roll with the punches. I understand. There's just S that happens in this world. But first of all, that had never happened to me in my entire radio career. Then we rebook it at 5 o'clock, my biggest hour. He doesn't know that, but I do. And in the middle of the interview, this is what happens.
And it's really just, you know, get what I get for him.
Ian Rappaport is my guest on Chad Dukes First World NFL Network, of course. They'll provide exclusive.
I'm sorry. I need to take this phone call. I apologize.
That is the last time we have that son of a bitch on this show. I swear to God. What a piece of garbage that guy is.
That's twice he's done that. Now he's tweeting me, I apologize for that an important source called on a story I just reported about. Could not answer it. I'm sorry we won't connect in the future. What was the source that you had? Was it that Jerry Jones is going to the spa tomorrow? What was your crazy source that you were going to report on? You just make it up half the time anyway, allegedly. See, I'm good at this, stupid. You're not. You won't call that hotline because I'll shred your ass. I'll make you look stupid. And then it'll be up on awful announcing. Because you're awful at announcing. What a dill hole. Trying to pretend. You don't remember doing it 4 hours ago? Clown shoe? Brother, here's the problem. You think you're dealing with a one market zilch. I got podcasts and I got nothing but time. And I'm vindictive. I'll spend a whole hour this week. Do me a favor. Google Big Owen Dukes because you're going to get talked about for an hour. And that's a whole different audience than this one. Also, I'm going to start every show that I do for the next calendar year talking about what a loser you are until you call this radio show and we can have it out. And you better apologize. You got to understand something, dude. My ratings aren't even as good as the midday shows or the morning shows, but the people that like me really like me. And they like it when I beat up on idiots like you. And that's what I'm going to continue to do on this, my outlet. By the way, my program director said I handled it perfectly. So don't think I'm going to get any type of feedback put over my mouth. Although I would like a feed. I'm starving. Brock, do we have any feed bags in there?
I just checked. We're out. Damn.
Let's go to Joe, D.C. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Chad. I just want to say that in all my years of listening to radio, I think that was the biggest douchebag move I've ever seen. And Rappaport is, that's just so unprofessional that, like, if he were to get fired tomorrow, I would say he deserved it. Like, that's, but here's the thing. I'm not calling because I think you stated it perfectly how unprofessional that was. I'm just calling to say that you shouldn't even have to worry about that because your show is so much more classy. It's like I actually enjoy listening to your show because it's about sports. It's about life. And you're just so much more eloquent and more entertaining. On your little, like, pinky toe, you have more entertainment and, like, just professionalism than he does. I'm shocked that you are not national and growing more than you are now. But no. I think you will. So I wouldn't even worry about it. Your trajectory is going up. And that dude is just, I mean, I am shocked. Like, I wish I could fire him. So I wouldn't even worry about it. Dude.
I mean, thank you, Joe, for the kind words. It's very sweet. I don't want anybody fired. I don't need anybody fired from anything. I can fight with somebody without wishing them to be fired. I don't wish for people that work in this industry to be fired because we get fired a lot. And yeah, I don't want that karma coming back to bite me in the ass. But dude, don't get on Twitter and pretend like it's all Tiger Woods. Don't Hakuna Matata this garbage up on Twitter like you didn't do what you did. Here's what's going to happen. Is Blue Shorts is going to write this up. And the audio is going to be there. And this is big enough because I'll give you credit. Your name is big enough that it's going to go everywhere by tomorrow. Like, you're going to see it. And I'm sure I'm going to get trashed for not handling this like an adult would. But that's not the way I handle this. I'm not a sports talk radio guy. You screwed with somebody that's from a form of radio that's old, that's obsolete now, that people don't want because we're too emotional. If you listen to the radio that I was called, that I cut my teeth on, You probably would clutch your pearls and go running home to your mama. So I handle it because I listen to that type of radio. That's the type of radio I want to do. I do this to pay the bills. See, Ian, I'm that good at this. This isn't even what I want to do. I'm not even particularly good at it. I'm just so good at radio, I can fake it real good. So when something like this happens, I'll cut you a new a-hole for 3 months. That's what happens. You screwed with the wrong one is the problem. If you did this to Scott Jackson, it goes away tomorrow. But it'll never go away with me because I'm vindictive. So what I need you to do is, at some point, you're going to have to call that hotline. And you're going to have to apologize because I didn't do anything wrong. There's two of us involved in this situation. Well, three of us, four of us, five of us, because you screwed my producers too. And now there's hundreds of thousands because you screwed my listeners out of good radio. And maybe you think this is good radio, but I'm sure a lot of them don't. So you're going to apologize to them too, or it keeps going. Or I talk about it on all of my outlets. I talk about it when there's 400 people lined up to buy a podcast that I put on vinyl. Because that's what I do. You know what you do? You tweet that Kirk Cousins is going to the Dallas Cowboys. That's what you do. Let's go to Chris Fredericksburg. What's up, Chris?
Chad, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was the most obnoxious and rude act I've ever heard on the radio. But the way you handled it was top tier, number one, man. That was great. And you definitely kicked it to his nads. Go Dukes.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. Some guy's saying I'm the one that's acting unprofessional now. Well, yeah. Now that it's done, yeah. Absolutely. But if you break into my home, after that has taken place, there's a different set of circumstances. That guy boned me twice. And I'm just not the type of guy that's going to say, well, that's unfortunate. We'll try to get him on next week. I don't care. I don't care about anything. I like having guys on that I enjoy. I like having John McClain on. By the way, I would have John McClain on. I would have John McClain if he was in a coma on before I would have Ian Rappaport. I guarantee John McClain would be more entertaining. Don't take interviews, dude, if you don't want to do them. That's all it is. It's easy. Let's go to Josh, Southeast. What's up, Josh?
Get him. Could you imagine if we still had LeVar and...
800-636-1067. Please never call again, Josh. Let's go to Chris in Vienna. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Dukes. Thanks for taking my call, man. Yeah. By the way, nice job on the Junkies. Refreshing change of pace from the normal golf shtick back when you filled in, and I guess it was December. I just wanted to say, you know what? I apologize. I have to take this. I'm sorry.
See, I would have given you a shirt for that, dude. That is hilarious. Well played. Oh, that's a lot of fun. All right. Well, Brock, who does the sheet? Brock or Jared? Who does the sheet? You? Right at the top, right above Call the Adeed Carpet Cleaning Listener Line, right above the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, right above the FanDC.com. By the way, Blue Shorts, I have no problems navigating that website. Right above WatchChadDukes.com, right above website CDVTW.com. I need you to put Ian Rappaport is a douche, because until he calls... And until he makes this right, he's going to be a douche. At Rap Sheet.
You want to talk to him?
Is he on the line?
I might be able to get him for
you. No. You're not calling anybody. He's calling here. He's coming to me.
Okay.
He's going to have to, or else this is going to fester. It festers when you do me wrong.
Okay.
All right, Jared. Jesus. Don't make me give out your Twitter. Can the people that are in the dark please be informed on what occurred? Yes, I can inform you what occurred. JR booked Ian Rappaport on the show, a guy that I had no problems with whatsoever. Never particularly cared for his on-air demeanor, but whatever. He's got good information. In the middle of the, first of all, he was late calling in for the first interview, which we were scheduled to tape at 1:30. He was late. Fine, whatever. He had zero energy. Information wasn't all that great. That's fine too. In the middle of the interview, he says, hold on a second, I got to put the phone down. 4 minutes goes by, then he hangs up. Screws me over. So what do we do? By the way, that's never happened. In the history of my radio career, I've never had that happen. JR reaches out when he should have been blowing up the line for us. And says, hey, can we reschedule? Reschedules for 5. Does the same thing. Does the same thing. In the middle of a live interview, I'm sorry, I got to go. Brother, you're not a surgeon. You're not a fireman. You're not a cop. You're a nerd in a suit that reads text messages for a living. And I wouldn't fault you for it, except your professionalism leaves me wanting. So that is the update for everybody. I just got a tweet from somebody in the business that'll go nameless. Rap Sheet is a hoe. Well, that's not my opinion, but that's somebody that works in this industry. Yeah, you got a reputation, bud. Like, you have a reputation, Ian, in this industry that I would want to improve on if I were you. But that's up to you. And you have the hotline number. And I would Google Big O and Dukes, too. And I would Google the Rodcast. And I would Google everything else I got. Because I got a bit. I've done all right for myself. All right. Let's move on. We'll move on. Oh, I can tell you about this. Give it away 12 chances a day to win $1,000 in the 12K a day cash flash contest, baby. That's right. Your next chance to win coming up pretty soon. Top of the hour is when we're doing it. During the flash, message and data rates may apply, but I love giving out money on this radio station. Very good. All right, we will all calm down. I will have a non-caffeinated beverage during the commercial and do some scintillating radio. Ooh, by the way, Ronda Rousey debuted in the WWE, and Brock Lesnar may be headed back to the UFC. Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. Brian Campbell from CBS Sports will join us to break all of that down, and Conor McGregor's return. That'll be at 6. Don't miss that.
Hey, remember the mortgage meltdown of 2008? Have you tried to get a mortgage since then and been turned down? Or maybe you haven't even tried because your credit score is stuck at 585 or your tax returns have too many write-offs. Well, Cash Call Mortgage has great news for you. We've just introduced programs for people who've been told no. And what's doubly exciting is that we can solve your mortgage problems with no closing costs, no points, title, escrow, and no fees.
Wait. Cash Call, are you saying you now have credit and income-solving mortgages with no closing costs? Are you kidding?
You heard right. A credit or income-solving loan with no closing costs. Call 833-432-CASH and we'll work with you to solve your mortgage issues. Make the Cash Call at 833-432-CASH.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, One City Boulevard, Orange, California, 92868, NMLS, 128231. Equal housing lender, not licensed in all states, not available in Washington State. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing, terms, and restrictions.
That's 833-432-CASH.
Oh, people are tagging PFT commentator and Barstool Big Cat. Also, people are trying to point this out clearly. In my Twitter bio, it says, I am not offended. Well, yeah, I'm offended by the fact that this douchebag ruined my radio show. Yes, I will give you that. I'm not offended by jokes. That's for something else. I'm not offended the way the rest of you are when somebody makes a joke about fill in the blank. That's what that's referring to, but I don't think the people that are now responding to me negatively are necessarily listeners of this radio show. Although I've had multiple people say that I live in my mother's basement. I assure you that's not the case. It was for longer than I probably should have, but I was also homeless for a time as well. I lived in my car, so. Oh, yes, landfill, yes. Trying to get into radio is not the easiest thing, so we'll see. I think it's going to grow a little bit of hair maybe over the next 24 hours, and we'll see how we come out on the other side. All right, 800-636-1067 is the phone number. What is this? I don't know. I have no idea. Getting a lot of weird stuff now. See, I'll give Rappaport this. He's at a different level than I am, so the people that follow him seem to be a little bit weirder because I'm one market zilch. So I'll give him credit for that. This is taking it into a much larger realm. I'm going to move on, though. We can circle back tomorrow at the top of the show when I give you out the information that I promised to give you. So Ronda Rousey last night came out on that WWE thing. And I don't know. She's still incredibly famous, and then she clearly still has fans. But I don't know how relevant this is. I guess I have my answer that it was on SportsCenter. I mean, I guess I have my answer that it is being debated on all of these talking head shows that we have all day long, when I would hazard that not much that goes on in the mixed martial arts world that doesn't include Conor McGregor or Brock Lesnar gets much run on outlets such as that for whatever reason, whether you think it should or you think that it shouldn't. So maybe I'm incorrect there, but it was not handled all that well. And for someone to be in the capacity that she was and have a live microphone, I would think you would vet that person. You certainly, if you if you were going to hire me and say, all right, we need you to run a marathon, I think you'd want to see me take a lap around the building first, right? And realize that I would be a wheezing disaster by the time that took place. And then maybe you wouldn't want to hire me to run a marathon. I just don't know how you put a live microphone in somebody's hand that clearly isn't comfortable having a live microphone in their hand in front of 20,000 people or whatever it was. I was not impressed. I hope she gets better. I know she's a lifelong fan, but not holding that much hope. Conversely, the same night, you see Dana White, president of the UFC, tweet a picture standing next to the beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar. So you have the biggest name in sports entertainment, presumably heading back to mixed martial arts. Why one of the biggest names in mixed martial arts, presumably heading towards sports entertainment. Very odd night. Very odd night for that type of a news. And I would wonder how much bleed over there's going to continue to be in betwixt two worlds that I think looked at each other as competitors up until very recently. Certainly pay-per-view competitors. Now the WWE has moved away from that. Maybe that's softened some of it. But it certainly would seem to me that both of these industries could help each other as we see CM Punk get another chance to fight in the UFC, what looks to be in their first fight in Chicago. So I'm interested in all that stuff. Brian Campbell can talk about all of that. And of course, McGregor is back in the gym, and it looks like he's going to compete in mixed martial arts, not some sort of fakakta rematch against Floyd Mayweather. Man, it's been a volatile one tonight. Definitely going to need a good night's sleep, Jack. Man, got so many notifications here. Going to need to make sure that I hit that old Dusty. Go up to the bedroom in Oakton Falls. Use one of my four My Pillows. You can get four My Pillows. 50% off. Pretty damn great. If Ian Rappaport only hung up on me today one time, that would be 50% of the times I've spoken to him. But unfortunately, it was two. That's 100%. I can't give you 100% off the My Pillows, the four, the two go anywhere, and the two premium. But I can give you 50 just by typing in chat, C-H-A-T. Type in Ian, maybe you'll get 100% off because he hung up 100% of the times. See what I'm going for here? There's a money-back guarantee. There's a warranty. It's made in America. Great product. And Mike Lindell, what a mustache. How can you not trust a mustache like that? Mustache so big, it could be walking across the room by itself. Nobody would bat an eye. Go to MyPillow.com, type in C-H-A-T, and get four MyPillows.
Hey, remember the mortgage meltdown of 2008? Have you tried to get a mortgage since then and been turned down? Or maybe you haven't even tried because your credit score is stuck at 585 or your tax returns have too many write-offs. Well, Cash Call Mortgage has great news for you. We've just introduced programs for people who've been told no. And what's doubly exciting is that we can solve your mortgage problems with no closing costs, no points, title, escrow, and no fees.
Wait. Cash Call, are you saying you now have credit and income-solving mortgages with no closing costs? Are you kidding?
You heard right. A credit or income-solving loan with no closing costs. Call 833-432-CASH and we'll work with you to solve your mortgage issues. Make the Cash Call at 833-432-CASH.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, One City Boulevard, Orange, California, 92868, NMLS, 128231. Equal housing lender, not licensed in all states, not available in Washington State. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing, terms, and restrictions.
That's 833-432-CASH.
Monday. 6 p.m., though, close to quitting time, thank God. From CBS Sports, combat sports writer in this corner podcast. Check it out. We're fine podcaster pervade. My buddy Brian Campbell, you know him from Crossing the Streams, joins me on CDVTW. I'm sorry it's not Friday, Brian. How are you?
Wow, doing great. You tricked me up there for a second.
I may have had some trauma over the weekend. I'm not sure. Let's go ahead and get to it. Ronda Rousey, former baddest woman on the planet, of course. What an impact she had in the world of mixed martial arts. Everybody knew that she was a lifelong professional wrestling fan. She dabbled. She'd done some stuff at WrestleMania. Her contract signing was last night, and I'm a fan, and I'm a fan of pro wrestling, and I watched that thing, and it was a disaster from top to bottom, in my opinion. And and what I was most taken aback by, Brian, was that all the other people, Kurt Angle, Triple H, Stephanie, everybody that's been around this industry forever, they seem nervous. They were fumbling all over themselves. It makes me nervous about the whole program they have worked up. If those guys were as nervous as they were, what was your biggest takeaway?
Look, I thought it was certainly an awkward journey to get to the reveal and the blow-off point, but I didn't really hate the storyline and the psychology involved. Look, first of all, was Rousey good on the mic? Absolutely not. And is there a suspension of disbelief in this pro wrestling setup where you have to believe that Rousey could, I don't know, you know, attack her boss and could physically manhandle a man the size of Triple H? Certainly you have to take a leap. But look, Rousey wants to do this full-time, so eventually we'll get to a chance to see her as a legitimate professional wrestler. But to start out, it's WrestleMania season. This is a celebrity setup. This is like LT against Bam Bam Bigelow, right, 20 years ago. I don't know if I have the same amount of high expectations right now. This is a money feud to establish Rousey and give WrestleMania the kind of celebrity crossover it always desires. And if we end up getting Rousey and Kurt Angle opposite the Evil Authority, you know, this isn't that bad. The history is there. There was a callback on Sunday night to, of course, Rousey's initial appearance at WrestleMania 31 just a few years ago. A little bit sloppy to get there, of course, but they delivered the boom in the storyline of Stephanie and Triple H wanting revenge.
Yeah, I don't mind the angle that much. It's just I think that with as much time as we're assuming they've had to prepare, I was hoping everybody would be a little bit further along, and I think that there would be there is a thought that, hey, why don't you do with her what you've done with Lesnar? And I don't need her to be crammed down my face as a blue eye, as a white hat. Like, bring her out there as a badass, have her destroying people, and have Heyman out there cutting her promos for her until she gets more comfortable. That seems to make a lot of sense to me.
That does make a lot of sense, you know, and they almost teased that in the kickoff show last night when they said, why is Paul Heyman here? Is he going to be doing some scouting? That would be a very smart direction to go because Heyman is so lovable and beloved. And you have a tricky situation in how you present Rousey because, you know, badass female fighter, yes, but the last two times we saw her, she was getting knocked out destructively.
Yeah.
So a lot of fans turned on her. So there's a little bit of a gray area. Do you put her as a pure white meat babyface and risk the chance of getting her booed, which she started to when she fumbled through some lines on Sunday night, or do you just turn her heel and just see what happens and allow somebody like Heyman to really help put her over? I don't know. She's got a, let's say, a tenuous emotional standpoint in terms of her relation to losing anyway. She still cannot talk publicly about those MMA losses without looking like she wants to cry. I think they have to put her in a spot where she's going to get as many chairs as possible.
Yeah, I agree, and that's why. And look, the lines have never been more people that don't watch the product. The crowds seem to want to boo the quote-unquote good guys. So I think what you did, I interviewed Dave Bautista, who's a friend, I wouldn't say friend of mine, but I would say he's a friend of mine because it sounds good, but I know the guy. And he said, look, I wanted to come back as a heel because I knew everyone was going to boo me if I was a babyface, and I'm a really good heel. I think she would get cheers. I think that she would ingratiate herself to all these snarky internet fans if that's just, hey, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm going to come out here and just whoop everybody's ass. To me, that makes a lot more sense. But we'll see where it goes, and I'm inclined to give her a shot. I hope she finds success because I know that she's a true fan. I'm not somebody that's just going there for a payday.
Absolutely. She's not going to be fooling around. And look straight up, WWE credits her, credits what she did in female sports in the UFC with really making them look at their own product and go away from the bra and panties era, if you will, and actually present legitimate women's wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. I wish there was room for both. I'm okay with both being in my life. let me ask you about, boy, I tell you why, there's so much bleed over between these two things now where certainly from the UFC side, they kind of treated the WWE like a pariah. But you have Brock Lesnar posing next to Dana White wearing a UFC shirt. We know the last time he fought, he won, but that whole thing, he pops positive. They take it away. There's the lawsuit from Mark Hunt. It was kind of messy, but, I mean, the pay-per-view numbers don't lie. He's going to be 40. What are we talking about here with what he could potentially still be in that heavyweight division?
It almost
doesn't matter, because what he is a ratings grabber, yes, a pay-per-view driver, and a money producer, and that's why Dana White's smile was so large right there, and that's why Dana White would almost bend over backwards to welcome Lesnar back, even with the bad pub from that failed drug test. And look, unlike some of these other failed drug tests, even John Jones right now, there was no out or excuse. Lesnar straight up popped dirty. There was no fighting it, so he would have to announce a comeback to MMA and really finish serving that 5 to 6 months left on his USADA suspension from that fight. But what can we expect? We would expect big name, big money fights. They've wanted to do that John Jones fight and really give Jones a star-studded debut at heavyweight. That's certainly a no-brainer type of fight. I don't know how many fights he can actually win. Of course, he can still wrestle. It's hard to imagine if he comes in there and he's clean this time, right? How much of a downgrade he'll be. He's still a freak athlete. He's still going to be a problem for people. I just don't see him ever competing for a heavyweight championship again.
Well, the Jones stuff adds up because he's called out Brock Lesnar in the past, and there's that picture that just was disseminated of him deadlifting, and he looks like he's the size of a house. So is that logical? What about a guy like Derek Lewis or Ngannou coming off a loss? I'd be worried that he would turn Lesnar's lights off, because we know he doesn't like getting punched in the face. But there certainly are some fun, charismatic heavyweights that make sense for any of this fantasy booking.
Oh, there is. I mean, and every heavyweight's going to want to fight him, of course, because it's their biggest potential payday, whether that's heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic, who keeps bringing it up too. I think the UFC would have an interesting dilemma on their hands. If Lesnar goes back to them full-time, and this is not another one-off to just go back to WWE, then you have to juggle how many times can we put him out there in spots where he could lose that could shorten his long-term financial interest. Do you put him in with John Jones and he takes a loss? Do you put him in with Miocic and he gets knocked out? Then where do you go from there? If they have a feeling like they're going to have him for a while, you may want to start slowly and give him a couple fights he can win and really milk him, because with Conor McGregor being uncertain, Chad, you know this, who else can move pay-per-views in the UFC? That's why they'd roll out the gold carpet here for Brock.
Yeah, you thought then it'd be a GSP, but we don't know when we're going to see him again. I want to get to Conor, but if Stipe beats Daniel Cormier and then they say his next opponent's Lesnar, technically, are those two freak fights in a row? Like, how is that? People seem to be pushing back against that a little bit, that the UFC is embracing more and more that carnival boxing-like aspect, trying to get their pay-per-view numbers back to where they need to be. Of course, we all know that's a temporary fix. You need to develop superstars. You need to market superstars. You can't just sit around wondering when Conor McGregor is going to come back.
True, but ultimately, when you look at that specific spot at heavyweight, they just don't have the depth.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of like a Derek Lewis, who just bounced back with a victory to make himself look like a viable contender again, there's just nobody else for these guys to fight, which is why Miocic Cormier makes sense so much right now. But if you're talking just in a general aspect about the UFC selling its soul, making short-term decisions and not caring about the long-term impact, that boat's well out of the dock at this point. They're going to do anything they can to move product, and that includes CM Punk making a second appearance potentially later this year in Chicago. That includes whatever they can do. Remember, there used to be talk about Wesley Snipes and Joe Rogan getting in there? Hey, yeah. Why not, right? Let's do it. Passenger 57, plane down. Let's do it, right?
I love Passenger 57. You don't know Wesley Snipes' character's name from Passenger 57?
I don't.
It's definitely John Cutter. And my favorite scene, wow. He's walking into the airport. He's got a denim shirt on and a denim dungarees. Denim dungarees, that's redundant. He got the full-blown Canadian tuxedo. He's one of the baddest men on the planet. I love that movie.
Oh, wow. If we were going to Steven Seagal history, I'd be much more, you know, point for point with you. Come on.
Mason Storm, that's my guy. All right, let's get to Conor. He says he's training. We see him training an opponent. You got Ferguson versus Khabib. You got a couple of different options here. Diaz is always out there, although apparently he's got a fight coming up that he's politicking for. Whether or not it gets confirmed, I don't know if that already is taking place. What makes the most sense for Conor, and who is worthy of this spot? The payday, the exposure. I mean, this is not something you can take lightly if you're McGregor or if you're the UFC, being his first opponent back since that boxing match.
Oh, absolutely. Look, the decision when it's made, obviously Conor's going to be the one making it, and let's not dance around that, right? He's got more leverage than anyone ever could have dreamed of for a UFC fighter at this point. So when and where and who, it's going to be dependent on Conor. Obviously, UFC wants him to fight the winner of Tony Ferguson, Khabib Nurmagomedov. That's April 7th, UFC 223 in Brooklyn. Those two have been waiting for a title shot for so long, both pound-for-pound level guys, but both incredibly dangerous on paper for McGregor. And again, it goes back to this debate. If he just made 100 $200 million to fight Floyd Mayweather and take very little damage. Why is he going to sign up for so much less money at so much more risk? I personally think he is much, much more likely to seek a Nate Diaz trilogy fight, even a George St. Pierre fight, because I don't think he cares as much as we do about him being a real, quote-unquote, real champion and making title defenses and doing that type of thing. He wants to make money and be a big star. I think it's much more likely we see Diaz, who Dana White's still publicly arguing with. Diaz thinks he's coming back against Tyron Woodley for the welterweight title. Dana White's saying no talks have ever happened. There's always drama there. Whoever Conor says he wants to fight, more than likely that's going to be it because UFC needs it.
Is Conor powerful enough to create this weight class, this, I guess, 165 weight class that he wants inside of the UFC in a new title? I mean, that would really show the influence that he has if he's able to make something like that come to fruition.
Yeah, it's unlikely, I think, in terms of creating a new division there. But if anyone can do it, obviously it might be him. I've said from the beginning, when he got to that level of superstardom, just make a Conor belt. Just make a pay-per-view belt. I've said in the past even about Canelo Alvarez in boxing. Forget the weight classes. Just say, this guy's so popular, he wants to fight whoever has a name that'll be willing to be close enough in weight to him. It's comical to even suggest something like that. But we're basically at that point anyway, because as you know, that great stat that we're always going to see flash up on the screen, Conor McGregor, 2 UFC titles, 0 title defenses.
Yeah, that's something that he's always going to have to deal with. I do think, I take him at his word. I think he loves fighting, and I think it's important to him. And I think that's why he's, I mean, it's why he's always injected himself. What about the fact that he's saying that he was going to fight Frankie Edgar, that he was going to go cut himself down to the machinist weight again? He looked almost like a corpse walking around, like Jack Skellington. If he's willing to do that, I imagine he's probably willing to go out there and take the risk that we're talking about.
Well, you got to look at that fight, though. I don't think he was going to fight him at featherweight, where Conor hasn't fought there since when? 2015, right? He would have fought that at some kind of catchweight in the middle, probably close to the lightweight. And let's not forget, Frankie is small. And in Conor's world, that's a guy he thinks he can walk down and knock out, comparative to these beasts, Ferguson, Nurmagomedov. Those guys come in there to take your soul. Conor knows that. I'm not saying we will never see Conor against them. I'm just saying it's going to be very dependent on UFC to give the type of money that would make sure we would see that.
Yeah, you make a good point. Brian's on Twitter. Follow him at @BCampbellCBS, @BCampbellCBS, and CBS Sports also in this corner podcast, Google Play, iTunes, all over the place. Great conversation, Brian. Thank you very much, but enjoy your Monday evening.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Certainly will. Oh, there he goes. Very quick hang up. All right. What a show. What a show today. Very good exercise and radio ninjutsu by me. Thank you. Thank you to the Fruitcake Emporium. Thank you to all my guests, Ren Halloran, the whole group. If you missed it, we had some good stuff. Ian Rappaport was on the program. Go to cdvtw.com/audio podcasts. They're up there and they are free. You can also check out the Big O and Dukes show. We did a 2-hour episode on Thursday where we were interviewed by none other than Mr. Eric Nagel of Opie and Anthony fame. So if you're a radiophile, you'll definitely want to check that out. It's on BigOnDukes.com, or you can check out @BigOnDukes on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I think you'll dig that show. Cool. Tomorrow is Tuesday, worst day of the week. I wouldn't come back. Thank you very much to all of you for checking out the show today and roll out the trash cans.